Jesus, may these be your words for your people. Amen. So I've officially been here for 1 month. Hooray! So I still don't really always know what I'm doing, but we're making it. And thank you all for all of your grace and help with this. And I've been doing my best to get to know you all. I have definitely not met everybody, but I feel like I've met a good amount of you as I keep going. And one thing I've realized is that we come from a wide variety of backgrounds, and especially a wide variety of church backgrounds, which I didn't know and is very cool. It means that when we get together, we have a lot of insights from each other's traditions that we wouldn't have known otherwise. But what it also means is that we have a lot of language that we all assume we all know what they mean, but not everybody uses it the same way, because we all grew up with it slightly different. We can't assume everybody always knows what we mean when we say certain words, especially churchy words, because there's so much meaning and nuance and history in all of our church words that it helps as a community to define them, just so we're all on the same page. And so over the next few weeks, I want to work on putting some common language for Valley about the way we tell stories about how God has worked in our lives, which is why God Stories is the title. That's not the language that I'm worried about. It's just that we all know when we talk about it that we're all on the same page. As Christians, we believe that God is with us all the time and interacts in our lives. But most of the time, I'm not paying attention. I assume you are not paying attention. And that maybe when we go to sleep at night, we're like, God did a thing, right? The creator of the universe who's interacting with me in my life was here with me, and I may have paid attention. And if we did pay attention, the best thing to do is share those stories with each other, which means we need some language to work on this. And when I've done this before, it's become really powerful. Partly why I wanted to bring it to here. So we're going to start at the beginning. I assume for most of us, when you have someone that's going to tell a story about how God has met them, it is generally a testimony. How many of you all have heard that language before of, I'm going to share my testimony? Most of us. So in a lot of evangelical circles, sharing your testimony is your come to Jesus moment, right? It's the like, I was, especially if you had a really dramatic one, you get asked to share it a lot, right? Like, I was walking in sin and doing drugs and running in gangs and doing all these things. And then I met Jesus and my life turned around. And if you have a story like that, you get to share it all over the place, right? Because those are really important and powerful stories of our testimonies. There's a history throughout the church of those kind being really meaningful. The most famous probably being Acts 9 with the Paul's conversion on the way to Damascus and the like whoop, flip that he does. We share these powerful encounters and our testimonies to encourage each other of the ways that God has acted in power. But sometimes churches can get into the habit of only sharing testimony stories and no other stories of encounters with Jesus. And this can start to be unhelpful because it can start to be limiting. Dramatic testimonies as our main example of the ways that God interacts and works with us doesn't give us any language or practice for the ways that God meets us over the years. It doesn't always give an opportunity for what happens after a dramatic conversion, as if the conversion moment is the end of the story instead of the beginning. And it also doesn't allow people that maybe grew up in the church that have no crazy conversion story. They're like, I accepted Jesus when I was 5 and I've been to Sunday school my whole life. There's no room for their story, even though God has worked powerfully in their lives too. Accepting Jesus into our heart and becoming a Christian is the start of a journey and not the conclusion. And so sharing only classic testimony stories can be limiting in how we view Jesus. We should share them, but we should share not only them. So Christians have noticed this over the years and have come up with in traditions, I've been part of something called a God moment or like a God wink. Are any of you familiar with those kinds of things shared in Bible studies? I see a few nods, a few. Yeah, I think women's Bible studies do a lot of this. It's those places in your day where you're like, I noticed God in my day. So examples might be, if you're listening to like a radio and that perfect song comes on, that's just really meaningful and touches where you are in your life. And you're like, that must be God. Or you're walking or driving or you see a beautiful sunset and you're just like struck by how beautiful it is. You're like, oh, right. There's beauty in the world. God made the world. I'm reminded of God. Those are God moments, God winks, those little remembrance or thumbprints of God, those kinds of things. A point where you notice God in your day, reminded that you're not alone. So I think there's a picture of a lake, and that was Paul's conversion, so I wasn't on it. This is Elbow Lake at Cascades Camp and Conference Center. It's not as beautiful. This picture makes it look really beautiful. It's not quite as beautiful as that. Elbow Lake, I worked at this camp for years and years. And so one of my favorite God moments are always at this lake because this was my place, right? I was the waterfront director. I hung out there all the time. And you'd always do devotions in the morning. And, you know, you read scripture and you meditate. My favorite devotions, though, were to go sit on the dock because it's summer, so the mist will rise off the water. And it's that beautiful. And I would sit and watch the fish like flit in and out of the seaweed. I'm not a fisher. I'm not like Pastor Steve. But sitting on the docks and watching that was so peaceful and so steadying. I just had the sense that Jesus and I were on the dock together, watching the fish together, just bringing a lot of joy. It's my favorite God moment. Just a moment of me with God. There's nothing else happening. It's just a reminder that I do this with him. And I've been in communities that share these kind of God moments during small groups or all sorts of things. And it's super valuable. It's a good practice to look at our everyday lives and not just our testimony type moments. Paying attention to where God is. They're much more common than a big testimony moment. If you've never gotten into the practice of looking for this kind of thing, looking for God in your life, I encourage you to try it. The tradition is to look at the end of your day as you're kind of reflecting. And in the evening you're going to bed or in the shower or whatever. And you're like, what was something, where was God? And if that is too vague, what was something that was beautiful or joyful or funny or just struck you full of sorrow even? And was God in those moments? Because I would say yes. God was in those moments. And the more we practice this, the more you'll be able to be like in the moment instead of reflecting on it afterwards. Oh, hi, Jesus, I recognize you here with me. I see you. And as we do this, which I encourage us to do, as we get more familiar with God moments, we're going to find that some God moments are complete all on their own, like me with the fish, like a beautiful sunset. But some are more. Sometimes God is giving us an invitation. God is meeting us and asking, hey, do you trust this? Are you going to keep going? Hey, I think you should go say hi to this person. Sometimes Jesus will invite you to something. And just like with the kids' message, you can say no to invitations. It's okay. Invitations are more work. There's more steps involved. But the invitation and the accepting of it turns it from a God moment into a God story. Because stories have plots. Stories have to do something. A God moment is you're noticing God. A God story is saying yes to an invitation God has given you. So the scriptures today are examples of God's stories. They start as God moments. There's a moment of interaction, of noticing, of remembering God, and then God invites them into something. So we're going to look at the Moses text first. There's a picture of the burning bush to look at. So this is nearish the beginning, Exodus 3. Moses has run away from Egypt, has spent decades living with his in-laws in the desert as a shepherd. And he encounters something strange. He sees a bush that's on fire, but isn't burning up. My assumption is that Moses will see this as divine. He were like, hey, look, that's something I don't understand. That doesn't usually work. This must be God. That's a God moment. Full on right there. If he had gone home to his small group and been like, I saw God today in this burning bush that didn't burn up, that would have been a moment with God. But as we know, the story doesn't end there. Because God calls to Moses from the bush, Moses, here I am. And then starts this long conversation about how God sees the people. God sees his people in Exodus and hears their cries and is sending Moses back. Moses notices God. God invites Moses to something that will be a lot of work. And Moses says yes. Moses accepts the invitation. And the story goes well beyond anything Moses realized he was saying yes to. This first interaction with the bush is the God moment. But saying yes is what makes it into a God story. Because noticing the burning bush and even talking to God about it, there's no story there. There's no plot. There's no what happens next. What happens after noticing the bush and after listening, embarking on the scary adventure, that's our story. Our gospel story also walks this line, walks between the God moment and the God story. So this one is the rich man that comes up to Jesus and goes, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is Mark 10:17. The ensuring conversation with Jesus is the God moment. A God moment we would all love to have, right? One-on-one time asking Jesus questions. The rich man is able to interact with Jesus, encounter him, notice Christ's presence with him. The essence of a God moment. And the opportunity arises to move into a God story. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give your money to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. The invitation here was to sell everything, no longer be rich, so that could have been lose this identity marker, and come follow Jesus. If the rich man says yes, if he accepts this invitation, he'd be embarking on a God story. And this is a testimony type God story, right? This is the encounter with Jesus. Everything would change. His life would never be the same. But we know the rich man does not accept the invitation. He goes away sad and does not say yes. So this moment stays a God moment. It does not become a God story. The rich man noticed Jesus, is able to reflect on it, is think about it, but the encounter doesn't change anything. The rich man stays the same. So there's no plot, there's no going, there's nothing new, no insight, no response, no nothing. Just a moment with Jesus. Moses' God moment becomes a God story. Because Moses says yes. Moses allows the moment to change him. He accepts the invitation. God moments are just that. And a God story has a decision, has a plot, has movement, has insight, has change in it. You have to accept the invitation. Another interesting part of a God story is that the understanding of a God story, what it truly means, what God is really inviting you to, isn't always obvious at the beginning. Sometimes it takes time, sometimes it takes decades to really realize. Moses didn't know how far that invitation was going when he was asked. And we've talked about, in the morning service, we talked a little bit about this, right? The long view. And sometimes in our own lives, we're like, oh, that's what that was for. I didn't realize that until I look back on it now. The story we've been working for the last 3 weeks on Joseph's is a God story. one huge God story, the way that God worked in his life the whole time. That verse at the end, what you meant for evil, God intended for good, you don't say that unless you've reflected on your life and it has become a God story, that you've seen God move, you have accepted the invitation to keep trusting, you have reflected back on it. Joseph's life is one big God story. But Joseph's life is also smaller God stories, interspersed, right? How God worked with him with Potiphar's house is a God story. The way God met him in jail is a God story. The way that the cupbearer finally remembered him and brought him out at the right moment. All of these are smaller God stories inside the bigger one. And all of these God stories are comprised of God moments, right? That's the phrase that they used over and over again. And the Lord was with Joseph. Those are God moments. Sometimes there's an invitation for Joseph to keep trusting, to keep walking, to keep doing it. Sometimes it's just a reminder that God is with you in this, literally in prison right now. God is with you. So with Joseph, we have the God moments. I've noticed God. To the God stories, I'm following what God has asked me to do, letting this change where I'm going. Into, the complete God picture story, I see it now. The three levels of how we do this. God moments lead to God stories, and they can sometimes combine into one God story for your whole life. That one is only ever noticeable at the very, very end. So it's helpful to have eyes to see them in the middle. I want to return to this idea of a testimony that come to Christ's classic testimony, because it is a God story. And it is worth sharing. A classic testimony is we've noticed God in our life, we accepted the invitation, and life is never the same again. You may notice, though, that the testimony I picked wasn't of Paul's, was not the Acts one, but is actually from Galatians. Acts is the classic. Acts is the one they make videos about. They would make kids' books about. Nobody makes kids' books about Galatians because it's the letter and it's weird. But Galatians is the personal account. This is Paul telling us about his conversion. And he does something more than a testimony. He does what I would say. He tells it how I would say to tell a God story. Because a testimony that I've heard generally end with, and my life has never been the same, right? I met Jesus. Life has never been the same again. And I think Paul would say 100% true. But that's not why I'm telling you the story. There's a purpose behind this story. He's moved beyond simple testimony into the sharing of a robust God story. So I didn't put this on the screen because I forgot. So this is Galatians 1, 15 to 17. But when the one who had sent me apart before I was born, called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any humans, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Paul is telling his testimony, so they listened to him. I accepted this invitation, now I have something to say. Because of my saying yes, now there is more. This God story, this conversion, is the basis for what happens next for Paul. Because of this encounter with God, I learned blank. And in Paul's case, now you must listen to me. Paul, I learned with this encounter with God that I have been chosen to share this message with the Gentiles. Joseph, I learned through these encounters with Jesus, with God, that God is with me and works things out for my good, even though it doesn't look good. And that is why I'm telling you this story. This model, but not quite this language, is what I want to start cultivating here. How we tell God stories. So this is our God story outline. What happened in our story? What does this remind you of from Scripture? And what does this show us about God or about me? These are the questions that guide my thoughts a lot when I work with scriptures and when I work with how God interacts with us. So for Paul, what happened? The whole conversion story, right? On the road, the light, the blind, the voices. I get my sight back 3 days later. I totally turn my life around. What does this remind you of from scripture? For Paul, this is equivalent to a lot of the calling stories in the Old Testament. Isaiah and Jeremiah and people that have been chosen to speak God's word to God's people. What does this show about God? It shows that God picks people, that God has given us things to say, and that Paul has an important voice. And that story informs the rest of what he does. So I'm going to give an example from my life, because most of us don't have Paul-type stories, hopefully, about the way God interacts with us, a little more subtle. So here's a story from my life. I'll put it into this structure for you. So first, what happened? This is a story from when I was in college. And it's before I was a pastor, because now that I'm a pastor, you're like, well, of course this would happen to you. But like, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor, okay? And I was a junior. My sister was a freshman. One of her very best friends came out. It was the beginning of freshman year. She had a mental health crisis. Not my sister, the friend. Attempted suicide, ended up in the hospital. It was like October of her freshman year. And I was, you know, October of junior year. It's like the hardest set of your courses. I'm trying to support my sister. I'm trying to do all these things. As always, mom flies out to be with her in the hospital, all these things. And I'm just trying to keep my head above water, right? I'm trying to support my sister. I'm trying to do all these things. I get a phone call from my mom, which is not uncommon. We call a lot. And she was like, Becca, I'm like, hi, mom. She's like, I think you need to go visit Carol. This is Zoe's mom. And I'm like, what? Like, I think you need to go visit Carol. I'm like, I don't know her. I've met her one time. Why would I, you know, it's your friend's mom too. Like, hi, I mean, you're an adult and I'm in college. I mean, I guess I'm technically an adult, but like, what do we have to talk about? And she was like, no, really, Becca, I think you should go to the hospital and talk to her. I'm like, about what? She's like, I don't know. But God is telling me that you should go. It's like, okay, mom. So I hung up the phone. I'm like, well, now what do I do? Like, I technically don't have to do homework right now. The hospital is it's within walking distance. I could go. I've had one conversation with this lady my whole life. She doesn't know me from anybody. But she is alone in this city with no one she knows, with a child in the hospital. I mean, I guess I could go say hi or something. So, and as you guys are looking at, you're like, well, you're a pastor, of course this happens to you. But I'm like, I didn't know. I'd never done a hospital visit before. And so I walked over there and I was so scared. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I walk up and I'm like, hi, do you want to go on a walk or something? Like, I don't know. And we did. We just walked around the park outside the hospital and we just chatted. There was nothing divine about the conversation, right? It was nothing special, except that it was needed. And apparently I was the one who said yes. Now that doesn't mean I was the only one who got asked. There were lots of people that knew about the situation. There were lots of people that probably could have gone. And maybe even other people that got asked. But I was the one who got a phone call from my mom 2,000 miles away and was like, you should meet this woman that you don't know. Okay, that's what happened. I got invited to go talk to someone I didn't know in the hospital, and I said yes. This reminds me of a scripture, all sorts of things. It reminded me of the verse from Ecclesiastes about two are better than one, that you shouldn't be in the hospital alone. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses in Isaiah about leading the blind by ways they have not known. Unfamiliar paths, I will guide them, because I felt like a blind person trying to figure my way through this situation. Scripture all over the place. I'm sending you. Go be encouraging. Especially if the people are like, I don't know what I'm doing. He sends them a lot when they don't know what they're doing. What does this show me about God? It shows me that God is with me. and with us in hard things, because he wasn't just with me, that God, he was with Carol and with Zoe and the hospital staff and all these people, and was with my mom and with me, and God was present with us. And I learned about me that I get to say yes sometimes. And my life is a lot fuller when I do. This is a God story. Right? It's more than just what happened, because I could tell you what happened, but then I reflect on it. Who is God? How does this connect to Scripture? Both of those things give power to our stories. Now, this is not a testimony, right? I'd walked with Jesus a long time at that point. And it's not dramatic. The most dramatic thing was a phone call. But God is present with us, and these are stories worth sharing. There are so many reasons that God stories and God moments are important. They remind us that God is with us and help us teach ourselves to look for God in normal things and not just supernatural things. They encourage us. If God hasn't met with you for a while, if you can't see him, it's helpful to see somebody else and be like, oh, God's still working even if I can't see it. And we learn who God really is when we do this. And it helps us, I find it helps us move the information from here to here when we apply it to our own stories. So this week, if you have never done anything like this before ever, and you're like, I don't know, Pastor Becca, I would encourage you to see if you can find a God moment this week. Something, a way that God has met you. Something, when I worked with middle schoolers and they were like, I'm like, okay, something funny, something joyful, something beautiful this week. Or something sad, or something that makes you angry for something, like, just disoriented, right? Like, see if you find one of those. One of the holiest moments I've ever been with was being part of a concert band, right? Making music together. Oh, it was glorious. God is in all sorts of things. See if you can find one of those this week. And if you've done this, if you're good at this, then see if there's a God story. See if there's an invitation to do something a little more, to say yes, to step out of a comfort zone, to be like, I will keep trusting you. I will keep trusting you. And if you do either of these things, a God moment or a God story, see about those steps. See if it reminds you of something in Scripture. See if it connects to something what does it show you about God? What does it show you about people? These extra steps. It's not as simple as it sounds, because reflecting on our days are hard, and God does not generally call us on the phone. In fact, if God called us on the phone, whatever he's asking you to do is really hard, so it's probably better to keep it a little more subtle. But it takes more effort. It takes a lot of patience, and it takes time, but it is valuable work. It helps us bridge that gap between the head and the heart and to encourage each other. So we're going to start preparing for communion, a time where we believe God is close with us, a time to reflect on our God moments and our God stories, to prepare our hearts and our minds for meeting with Jesus, for who he is always here with us. Amen.